Good night, everyone. I hope everyone is well and safe, and they had a very enjoyable Sedarim. I know it must have been different for everyone, but I believe, it could be I'm wrong, I think for many people that I've spoken to so far, the response has been that it was strange, but it was a good strange. It gave a lot of people an opportunity to have a Seder in a different venue, in a different way, and perhaps a better way. It gave couples a chance to focus a little bit more on each other. It gave parents a chance to focus more on their children. So I'm hoping for everyone it was shared as a wonderful experience. Just a couple of thoughts that popped into my head over Yom Tov is we daven every single day in the Shemana Esrei. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Roifei Choylim. That we understand. And the next two words are Matir Asurim. So Matir Asurim means you should release those that are tied up. So I was just thinking this year, because of what's going on in the world, there's really a connection between those two statements. We daven the Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should be merapa the chayilim, he should heal all those that are sick, because that's the only way we're going to be let loose. Right now we're restrained, we're controlled, we're tied up, we're locked in our homes, we're not allowed to leave, we're very limited what we can do. But if Reifei Chayilim, if Kodesh Baruch Hu heals all those that are sick, and he ends the magefa, then Mater Asurim is going to be able to release all those that are tied up, we'll be able to be somewhat more free, we'll be able to be more mobile, will be able to move around and get back to life as normal. As we enter into the second phase of Pesach, so we know that Shvi Shel Pesach and Achmi Shel Pesach are not Regel B'fnei Atzmai. They're not an independent Yom Tov to their own. They're a Hemshich of the Yom Tov of Pesach. Yet we do know, we find something interesting, is that there's no Hallel, there's no full Hallel recited on Chol HaMoed and Shvi Shel Pesach. So I was actually toiling with the option of giving a share in it, but because I didn't have the pre-made Ma'ar Mekayimis, it would have taken me too much time. But we've spoken in the past about this notion, why is there no Hallel on Shvi Shel Pesach, and why is there no Hallel on Chol HaMoed Shel Pesach? So we mentioned in the past the famous Var from the Baron Cutler. The Baron Cutler says over that there seems to be a stira in memory Chazal to why is there no Hallel on Shvi Shel Pesach. Is it because, like the Gemara says in Erchin, because there's no Chiluke Karbon Oisov? That's what the Gemara says in Erchin. Or is it because Maisa Yoda Tova B'Yam, how can we say Shira when the Mitzrayim were suffering? So Baron Cutler resolves the answer, as we said over many times, that there's two dinim in Hallel, there's Hallel Mitzad Anes, and Hallel Mitzad Yom Tov. So Mitzad Hallel Mitzad Yom Tov, we don't say in Shvi Shel Pesach because there's no Chaluki Karbonis. What about Mitzad the Anes of Kriyas Yam Tov? On that, the Medrash says, because Maisa Yoda Tova B'Yam. That's a famous Shtickle Torah we've said over in the past from Baron Cutler. But just from a Hashkafic standpoint, the Medrash tells us that the reason why we don't say Hallel is because Maisa Yoda Tova B'Yam. Now that's an amazing statement. The Mitzrayim were no friends of the Jews. The Mitzrayim were very mean to the Jews. They were horrible to the Jews. So if there would ever be a person when they're drowning that we should rejoice and we should celebrate, it would be the Mitzrayim. Yet we find that Chazal tell us that Ma'isi Yodei Tova B'Yam, we have no permission, we have no permissibility to rejoice when other people, even our arch enemies, are suffering. This, I think, is a very, very important Hashkafic Jewish outlook on life. You know, often we look around the world and we say, okay, so it doesn't affect me. Who cares what's going on in a third world country? Who cares that there's a virus somewhere in China? Okay, so the Chinese are dying. We as Yidden have to believe that everyone, every person is a Tzelem Elokim. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children are dying, it has to bother us. But Rabbi Yerucham Olshan takes it a step further, and he quotes another verse from Baron Cutler, where he asks, he says, okay, so that's why we don't say Hallel. And that's why the Gemara says that the Malachim wanted to say Shira, but they were rejected. So, Frecht, the Baron Cutler, so why are we allowed to say Az Yashir? What gave B'nai Yisrael the permissibility to say Az Yashir if the Malachim were not allowed to be given the permission? So, Baron Cutler develops an idea that the Shira that Klai Yisrael sung at Yam Suf was different than the Shira that the Malachim sing. So, when the Malachim sung Shira, that was just, a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it didn't change who Malach doesn't change his essence. However, said the Baron that when the B'nai Yisrael sung Shira, it got into their bones, it got into their body, and it changed who they were. It brought out into them and made them have a new sense of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a different Hakara, a deeper recognition of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And therefore, that was permissible. So based on that logic, it comes out that the Shira Seyam is not just a song that we sing to reflect a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a song that puts in us and reminds us and is kaveya in us a certain sense of emunah b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is with a cheshbon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always guiding us, and He's never forsaken us, and He's always involved in our life. I think that's a very apropos message for this time of the year, when we come up to Achron Shal Pesach, Shvi'i Shal Pesach, Olamoy Pesach, when we're going to say the Shira, and we know the Mishnah Berurah writes, that if you say the Shira every single day, B'simcha Rabbah, it's Moichal Avonis. What's the pshat? The answer is according to what we're saying, because the Shira is not just Stam a song. The Shira is supposed to remind you of the whole experience, and it's supposed to change you. It's supposed to remind you every day, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, he has a mahalach in the world, he knows what he's doing, he's running the world, especially in a time like now when the world is so complex and it's so complicated, and it's so hard to find that in this world. Perhaps we have to cling on to that this year, perhaps more than other years. We have to cling on to the message of the Shira Sayam. We have to tap into the lesson of Shira Sayam, that even though it's hard to understand, it's hard to see Yad Hashem and all that is going on, when you read a list of after Yom Tov of how many people died in the New York, New Jersey area on Yeshiva World, it's hard to imagine all these things. Your heart breaks. But we believe in Shira Sayam that everything has a cheshbint, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. Everything is gecheshbint. And that's why it's Moichal Avonis. If a person can reach that madrega in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's taka Moichal Avonis. And therefore, as we approach the second half of Yom Tov, it's worth us to think about this, to focus on this, to try to tap into this very important message of Shira Sayam, not just a song, but Shira Sayam defines who we are. It changes our essence. And that's why the Malachim, who don't change their essence, have no right to sing it, because to them it's only a song. But for us, it changed us. It rewired us. It replanted ideas in our mind. And therefore, the Bnei Yisrael was mutter to say the Shira, while for the Menalochim, it was not permissible. Okay, so today I want to talk about a topic which is extremely relevant for Chol HaMoed, and it's the topic of to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. I've said this year over in other venues, once in the Young Gizel of Woodman many, many years ago. Michael probably knows the date. Michael? Okay, Michael knows the date. I don't remember when it was. And but we've never really seen a lot of the Marim Kremis inside, so I want to have a chance to do it tonight, where we could see some of the sources inside, and of course, some new additional interesting facts as well. So the question is whether or not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Obviously, this is a very touchy topic for many people.
Sad. I know it's a little late, but I'm very slow with technology. Oh. Yes. In Young Israel of Woodmere, you gave it the Sukkot of 2013.
Thank you, Michael.
Last days, and you gave it in Young Israel Lawrence Cedarhurst in May of 2012.
Thank you, Michael. I knew I can count on you. Okay, terrific. Okay,
I just couldn't figure out the technology.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, good. So now we have the sources in front of us. I apologize. Some of it got cut off. I'm not sure why, but we're going to try to navigate through our story. So the question is, to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? So the truth is, in other years, it gets even more sticky because of the question of lo yisiskoi didu. I would like to give a share on it because it's negeh not only to wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, but it's also negeh to keeping the first or second sphere. So if I can get it together by sometime next week, I would like to give a share on understanding the isra of lo yisiskoi didu. If I don't give the share, at least I'll say the story that the Ragachov Goin, and you don't get the title Goin for being not a Goin, so the Ragachov Goin was known for being very fully engrossed in learning. That's all he cared about was learning. And a bunch of guys one time decided they're going to send him a letter. People used to send them letters, and he'd answer the letters. And sometimes a bunch of nunniks decided they're going to make him crazy. They want to know what his stand on the Aguda was. If anyone knows their history, in the 1930s and the 1920s, there was a very big debate about what the status of the Aguda was. Pro it, not pro it. A lot to talk about. So they sent the Ragachov a letter. What's your thoughts on Aguda? So that Ragachov wrote pages on pages about the Isser of Lois Iskoididu, about Agudas Agudois. He wrote about everything under the topic except for actually talking about the Aguda convention, about the Aguda, idea. Because to him, he didn't have that there was such a thing called, politics in the world of Torah. If someone writes, he wants to know about Torah. So he thought they meant Lois Iskoididu, but don't make Agudas Agudas different groups. So he wrote a whole letter about what's considered Lois Iskoididu, and he didn't even understand that they were talking about the political movement. But in any case, it does need discussion. We'll mention a little bit today, but I really want to get down to the question of should one wear tefillin or should one not wear tefillin? Now, obviously, this is a very sensitive topic because it's extremely minhag-based, but at least we'll understand why everyone does what they do and try to tackle each one's respective minhag. So in order to understand the question of tefillin on Chol HaMoed, we really have to go a step back and understand what about wearing tefillin on Shabbos v'Yom Tov. So there's a Gemara in Menachos, source number one, it's slightly cut off. The Gemara says this, Rav Akiva Omer, I would have thought that a person should put tefillin on both Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why not? Where does it say that tefillin is only a 6 day a week mitzvah? Tamaloyma, it says in the Torah, we know that the uniqueness of tefillin, that tefillin is called an ois. So the Gemara says, that's only when you need an ois. Yasu Shabbos of Yom Tovim Shehen Gufan Ois. But Zog the Gemara, Shabbos of Yom Tovim doesn't need tefillin. Why? Because you have the ois from something else. Shabbos is an ois, and Yom Tov is an ois. So you don't need the ois of tefillin. So writes the Gemara. Now, what's not clear from the Gemara is does this mean I can't wear tefillin on Shabbos of Yom Tov? Or it just means I'm not obligated to wear tefillin on Shabbos of Yom Tov? Good. I don't have to. But is there anything wrong with it? How do you read the Gemara when the Gemara says it excludes Shabbos of Yom Tov because they themselves are an ois? So what? What's wrong with having more than one ois? Is there a violation of having more than one ois? So we'll see in the Rishonim. Many Rishonim discuss this notion of how many oisias is a person supposed to have. But the Gemara says, Shabbos v'Yom Tov is called an ois. Now the question that the Rishonim will grapple with is, where does it say Yom Tov is an ois? Shabbos, I know, is an ois. Ki ois hi li'olam beinu v'ein b'nei Yisrael. That we know. Where does it say Yom Tov is an ois? If you look in Rashi number 2, the left side Rashi says, what's the ois? Shehein atzim an ois b'na kodesh baruch hu li'Yisrael. It's an ois between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kidechsev ois hi li'olam. Okay, so we know Shabbos is an ois, but what about Yom Tov? So if you look in the Ritvon Erev in number 3, he writes Pirish. Dogab Shabbos ksev ois. We know Shabbos; it says ois. Vuhu adin liyomim toivim, the kulu Shabbosaninu, because all of Yom Tov is called Shabboson. Dechsev tishpesu Shabbatechem, and therefore somehow that's supposed to explain why Yom Tov is an ois. If you look in the Prima Gadim, he has a different shot. Again, everyone's really grappling with this. The Prima Gadim writes, "V'lule de mistafina ayisi oimemadich siv is a pasuk in Bereishis. V'hoyu lo oisois ulumayadim oisois hanu yom tovim." The pasuk in Bereishis, when it says the word oisois, that's a reference to Yom Tov. Oh, so I see Yom Tov is called an ois, and none of these seem to be kipshutoi. But we're all trying to kvetch away how to figure out that Yom Tov is also called an ois. The Yerzeruah has perhaps the most creative shot. The Yerzeruah writes, he quotes from Rabbeinu El Yochum. So he says, no, shehin gufan ois shenahar sambation umala bezichuroi moichichin shenochem behem. Says the Arzuri, you know what the ois of Shabbos is and the ois of Yom Tov is that the river Sambation doesn't do its thing. So therefore, Zog the Arzuri, that's why Yom Tov and Shabbos are called an ois. Okay? So we have, however you understand it, the Gemara says that Yom Tov and Shabbos are called an ois, and for some reason you're not supposed to have too many oisies. So if I have the ois of Shabbos, I don't need the ois of the tefillah. The Abu Draham writes, number 6, he says, it says in the pasuk, Kishem Hashem Nikra, so Rosh Teve Shin, Shehu Bishal Rosh, V'timtza, Ki B'sholosh Mitzvah Is Nemer Ois. So to Abu Draham, there's 3 mitzvahs where the Torah writes the word ois. B'milo, B'Shabbos, U'B'tefillah. B'milo, it says, V'hoyu lo ois bris beinu beinechem. B'Shabbos beinu bein b'nei Yisrael ois the oil. B'tefillin, V'hoyu lo ois ayodch. V'hein shloshten ois, V'edus Yisrael. These are the 3 oises that are testimonial to Klal Yisrael, that what? Sheheim avodim la'kadosh baruch. So Avu Draham, you should know that there are 3 things that we walk around with every day, or some days, that are testimonial to the fact that we are avodim la'kadosh baruch hu, and that's the ois of bris, ois Shabbos, and ois of tefillin. Zogt Avu Draham, v'apishnai, you made them yakum davar, and the halacha is, you always need 2 edim to do anything. Ki kolechem Yisrael ein Yehudi shalim, elim ken yesh l'shnei edim sh'yehudi. Every Jew has to always have with him 2 signs, 2 oisias that testifies to his Judaism. Hilkach, v'shabbos v'yom tashay nikra gam kein, Shabbos, Shabbos also be ois, potter odom l'neach tefillin. So the male, Zogt Avu Draham, when it comes to Shabbos, so a Jew has already his bris, and he has Shabbos, so there's no need for him to have his milah. Hilkach, ki yesh l'shnei edim, ki hu Yehudi Shabbos u'milah. Avo b'chol, but Zogt Avu Draham, when it comes to the weekday, chayv kol echel aneich tefillin, you have to wear tefillin, why? Ki yesh l'shnei edim. So you should have you need your 2 witnesses, tefillin im ha'milah. Chomish ein aneich tefillin, ein lo kiyim eid echad, shehu Yehudi. So therefore, Zogt Avu Draham, if you're only going to have 1, you only have your milah and not your tefillin, you're walking around without the two signs. So again, from the Avu Draham, it also sounds like...
What about women?
And Echrami, yeah, I guess they don't have these oisias. They're not going to be able to have it because they don't have milah. Yeah, this is connecting to the sugya Rebbe Lozer, the milah that we've been learning. I guess they're not going to be able to have the same oisias as the men. It's a good point. I'm not sure what women do with this sugya. But Zogt Avu Draham, you need to have always 2 oisias. Now again, it also sounds like from the Avu Draham, you need it, but if you want to have 3, there's nothing wrong with it. He just says, you're potter, you don't need to wear the tefillin. But if you want to wear the tefillin, knock yourself out, no problem. But this notion... Yeah.
Along the same lines that Chaim Erlich just asked, what about somebody who's not allowed to have a
meal? Oh, very good. That's Mamish, the next Maramalkam on the sheet, David. We're going to get to that in 1 second. So the Trumas Hadeshin in number 7 makes that exact argument. Says the Trumas Hadeshin, one second, if the whole reason why you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, I'm sorry, on Yom Tov is, on Shabbos for Yom Tov is because you already have the Ois of Milah and you have the Ois of Shabbos. So says the Trumas Hadeshin, number 7, the Fi Tam Smag, according to the reason from the Smag, Mikayach Shnei Edim, it's all about the two witnesses, Misha Meisi Ochiv Machmas Milah. Let's say you have a case where a guy had two older brothers who all died from the Milah. So Allah is they don't get the third brother doesn't get a bismillah. So then in that case, Yaniach Tefillin b'Shabbos. So Tanya Tzmizdesh, the same argument as David. It should come out if you're going to take the reason why we don't wear tefillin. So literally, it's because you don't need to have more than two oisiyas. What happens if a guy only has one ois? How do you have such a case, says the Trumas Hadeshin, where his brothers died machmas mila, therefore he's not mechoyev to have a mila, so this guy is mamash and oral. He doesn't walk around with a mila. So if he's not walking around with a mila, he's always only having one ois. So this guy only has one ois, the ois of tefillin or the ois of Shabbos. So this guy, when it falls out on Shabbos, he should wear tefillin. So the Trumas Hadeshin writes, you're right, but nira, the ein lecha leklal b'shul tamzeh. He says, ein lechanami, technically you're right, but you know, what I would call a fancy loy plug. You can't do that. The Gemara made a drasha that you don't need a witfilm, you don't need a witfilm. But ein lechanami argues the Trumas Hadeshin, strictly speaking, min hasvara, what you're saying is 100% correct. If the whole reason is to do with the oisiyas, in a case where a person is lacking an ois, he should have to wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yom tov. The Prima Gada brings up a ha'ara, which we've spoken about in passing in a halacha shir a while back on the when we did tefillin. Now, everyone knows that when you go to a bris milah, the Mishnah Berurah writes, as does the Shach in Yeridea, that you're supposed to keep your tefillin on to the end of the bris milah. The Ber Moish, the Debet Sina Rav, had a tshuva where he was very bothered by this. He says he has no idea why no one keeps this.
Who has to keep it on?
Everyone. All the participants at a bris are supposed to keep the tefillin on until the bris concludes. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Hilchos Tefillin, and as does the Shach in Hilchos Bris Milah. And the Be'er Moshe, the Debet Sina Rav, is very troubled. Why is no one makbid on this? So he writes, he says, he remembers in Europe, everyone was makbid. So they came to America, no one is makbid. So he thinks the reason why no one is makbid is because everyone's in such a rush. And he starts to give a whole Musa Shmuz, how everyone is in such a rush. Everyone is always late to something they need to be to. And everyone's rushing. So therefore they take their tefillin off. That was his pshat. I suggested maybe a bit of a more limud chus v'klai Yisrael, is that because we know for tefillin, you have to wear tefillin with guf noki. Person is not allowed to pass gas, he's not even allowed to talk sichas chulin, he's not allowed to be mesiach das. So I thought because it's hard enough for people to keep the tefillin on and be b'tahara during davening. Now you expect people to keep the tefillin on for 20 minutes until the mail comes. So what are you supposed to do? You sit around and you shmooze. So if you're going to sit around and schmooze in your tefillin or, you know, play on your phone, it's much better to take your tefillin off. There's no question in my mind. If everything runs chick-chock, everything's on time, then you're right. Right after davening ends, the mile comes in. And how many times have we been to a bris where it never happens that way? Where by the time the mile comes in, it's already 20 minutes later. You're already checking 15 emails from work because you're late to a meeting. Okay, so then it's taka better to take off the tefillin. Why should you keep your tefillin on if you're not going to be focused on Kedusha's tefillin? But that's the aura that he makes. So the Prima Gadim makes this ha'ari. He says, one second, the Eliyarabba has a kasha. The Eliyarabba asks from the, what I mentioned from you, from the Shach and Yaradeya, that said, the Inlachos Tefillin Ara Achramila. We're number 8. That one should not take off their tefillin until they conclude the Mila. Why? The Nikr Ois, because we know Mila is an ois, with tefillin ois and tefillin is an ois. So he says, one second, L'fize kan kosha, Adarabba, emenicha mezalzel ba'ois ha'mila. He says, why is that not considered like being mezalzel the oisa mila? Maybe we want to focus. And just like the Gemara says, you don't want to overdo the oisius, right? Every ois needs its own specific time. So maybe when it comes to a mila, you want to give all the focus to the ois of the mila. You add a mila now. Maybe you don't want the tefillin to overshadow, so to say, the ois of mila. You want it to be focused just on the ois of mila. So he writes, Yeshloima de'onu b'chol manichem tefillin. What are you talking about? That's not a kasha, because we were tefillin during the week. Afagav sheyesh lanu ois mila, because we have an ois mila kemosh kasa balavush, because you need two edim. Ubishabbos yesh mila vishabbos. He says no, it's only a kasha because on Shabbos you're going to have three. Again, two is okay. You always need to have two. We always walk around with two. We have mila and we have Shabbos. So therefore, says the Prima Gadim, I don't understand the kasha. If you're going to go to a bris, of course. So the bris is one, tefillin is two. You always need two oisiyas. Therefore, he doesn't understand the kasha of the Eliyarabba. But again, nonetheless, that is the minig lahalocha. Why are people not makbid on it? I think, as we mentioned earlier, but halocha l'maisa, they say that definitely the sandik should be makbid, the moil also, but I think the Debet Sina Rav writes that sometimes for the moil it's hard. If you have the tefillin on your hand, it gets you, it's hard to, you know, get a good grasp on the moil's knife, but Again, if you know you're going to schmooze in the tefillin, you know you're going to check your emails, and I think it's better to take the tefillin off. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, what do we have so far? We have a Gemara in Menachos, where the Gemara tells us you don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos, because Shabbos is an ois. We have a Yisrael in the Rishonim that we don't want to have too many oisiyos, but two is okay. But the question is, what happens if I want to wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yom tov? May I wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yom tov? Or is there no obligation to wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yom tov? The din is you have to always have two oisiyos. Okay, so I always have to have two. If I want to have three, who says there's anything wrong with it? So if you look in the Torah, number 9, the Torah writes, Shabbos v'yom tov, lav zman tefillin hin. They're not times for tefillin. Question is, what does that mean? They're not times for tefillin. Does that mean I'm not allowed to wear tefillin? Or does that mean I don't need to wear tefillin? So if you look in the Bachan number 10, he's oimid on the diak of the Lashon of the Torah. What does the Torah say? It's lav zman tefillin hein. Says the Torah, says the Bachan number 10, it's slightly cut off. He says, pirish, ein chayiv lohanichan. All the Gemara Menachos and the Torah just means that you don't have to wear tefillin. But, miu ein isra bedavar, there's nothing wrong with it. You want to wear three oisiyos, knock yourself out. V'zeu shekasav rabbeinu lav zman tefillin hein. And says the Bach, that's why the Torah chose his words very carefully when he said, they're not zman tefillin in kivan she'ein ben chiyuv. Because there's no chiyuv in the varach aleim. You can't make a bracha. Elo menichem lei brachem ratzel laniach. So you could. Says the Bach. Oh, very good. That's what I want to get to in a second. The obvious question is going to be, is our tefillin muktzah? So according to the Torah and understanding, the Bach's understanding of the Torah, tefillin are not muktzah. You could wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yom tov. You don't have to. Fine, you don't have to. But if a person would decide to do so, he wouldn't be over any isurim, and therefore l'chayru, the tefillin shouldn't be considered muktzah. Now, it's not shver to learn like that in the Gemara. The Gemara never said that tefillin are asa to be put on Shabbos Yom. The Gemara just said, I would think you have to. Says the pasuk, you don't have to. Can you? I don't know. That's up to you. So we're going to see, it's a big machlokes rishonim on this topic. But just from the Gemara itself, I don't think you have any leaning from the Gemara that you're not allowed to wear the tefillin, which is why the Torah paskins, you may wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom. And the truth is, it's the opinion of quite a few Rishonim, mainly Rashi and Tosfos and Maseches Be'ah. There's a Gemara Maseches Be'ah number 11. The Gemara is discussing certain things you're allowed to send to other people on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes, Shari Luhu L'Rabbanon, Rav Sheshes permitted the Rabbanon, L'Shdurei Tefillin B'Yom Tov, to send Tefillin on Yom Tov. So Rashi and Tosfos are all grappling with the Kasha. What are you going to do with it? It's a waste. What can you do with Tefillin on Yom Tov? This is Dr. Rashi, number 12. Tefillin asinami, they're also shaykh to Yom Tov. The inami monach lubi Yom Tov lek yisura. Because if you'd want to put them on a Yom Tov, you wouldn't be over nisser. Taisus number 13 says the same thing. Aval tefillin ni the Shabbos Yom Tov lavzman tefillin hein yikomakam lek yisura lahanichan. So both Rashi, Taisus, and the Torah are all of the opinion that there is absolutely nothing wrong with someone who wants to put tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov. There's no violation. You don't have to. Fine, you don't have to. But if a person wants to, he would not be doing anything wrong. So based on that, well,
isn't the whole reason why we take tefillin off by on Rosh Chodesh by Musaf is because either according to Musaf Sfar because it says Kesser and you already have a Kesser, so you take off tefillin and right. By everyone else, it's because like a Yontif and you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Yontif.
We're going to see how we actually pass on halacha l'maisa, but this is just in the Rishonim. You're right. We're going to see halacha l'maisa. We don't go like this, but I'm just. Pointing it out from the Rishonim standpoint, there are plenty of Rishonim, and it's interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in one of his tshuvas, when he discusses Tefillin Chol HaMoed, he refers back to these Rishonim. That's why I think they're relevant for the sugya. But what you're saying is the way we actually practice is Halacha L'maaseh is not the way, it's not like these Rishonim, 100%. But if it's interesting, as Jacob pointed out, we're going to have a big shaila now. If you hold, you're not allowed to wear Tefillin Chol HaMoed, so then Tefillin become Muktzah. More specifically, what type of tefillin, what muktzah do they become? They become a klisha malach talisa. They're like any other thing that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. They become like, a cell phone. They become like anything else that the usage is asr. So tefillin, l'chayra, according to those that hold, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. So tefillin become a klisha malach talisa. According to those Rishonim, like the Torah, Rashi, and Tosfos, that tefillin are merely just not required on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then they're nothing. They're not muktzah at all. Then they have the same status as a sefer, the cha'era. But that's the shaila. If you look at number 14, the Shulchan Aruch is in Shin Ches, which is Hilchas Muktzah in Hilchas Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kisvei HaKodesh, writings of Kedusha, V'oichlen and food, Mutlo Tatlo Mafir Shaloy Tzeichla. Those things, your Bechla will never under the banner of Muktzah, they can be moved even for no reason whatsoever. Says the Ramah, Utfilin, Ein Letatlo Mki'im Letzeirach. But tefillin, you should only move if there's a need. What's the need? So Mishnah Berurah explains, something may happen to the tefillin, they may get ruined, they may get damaged, so they should only be moved if there's a tzarich.
Not if you need the place?
Ah, exactly. It seems like not if you need the place. But then the Ramah contrasts tefillin to shofar. The shofar also letatlo kiyam tzarich gufa mikayma. But a shofar, that you're not allowed to move unless you need a place or you need it for itself. If anyone remembers, we spoke a lot about this Ramah in the 19th Perek in Shabbos on Sunday morning when we were discussing why certain things become muktzah and certain things don't become muktzah. So here the Ramah rules that a shofar is considered a klisha malach tel iser. Why? Because since you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it becomes a klisha malach tel iser, which can only be moved letzarech gufoy if you have a need for the thing itself, or mekaymer. Now what would letzarech gufoy mean for the shofar? You want to drink out of the shofar. You're short a cup. So you're going to pour the drink into the shofar, and you'll drink out of the shofar. What's mekaymai? The shofar is sitting on your seat, in your chair, it's sitting on your bed, so you're allowed to move it. Now, as you see clearly from the Ramah, he did not give that same din to tefillin. Tefillin, he said, is different. Tefillin is not a klisha malach tel iser. Now, there are those achrayim who grapple with the question of Shem Zalman, Nishmir, Shabbos, Kachasi, also discusses, why aren't tefillin mukta machmas chasar and kiss? Tefillin are extremely expensive, and they're very valuable. So one could argue that because they're expensive and valuable and precious, they're a third category of muktzah, which is muktzah machmas chasar and kiss, which is the most strictest type of, one of the most strictest types of muktzah, where you can really only move it under very, very limited circumstances. But you don't see that from the Ramah. You see from the Ramah that tefillin are clearly not a klisha malach tel iser. Question is, why not? So the Mishnah Berurah number
something that's very expensive, you can't move on Shabbos?
Correct.
That wear an expensive jewelry or watch?
No, so it gets complicated. When I say expensive, it means expensive, and due to its expense, you don't normally move it. It's not always about a value, but it's about muktza, means mekatze, medayt. You basically don't move it. You leave it where it is because of either its value or because it's precious to you. For example, the Achrayim discussed the Shaila. Let's say you have pictures on the wall. So one of the definitions of a muktza machzor is that I have a special place for it. So, you know, I keep it in the safe, I keep it in my drawer, I keep it tucked away. But let's say something like a picture, do you argue that a picture is only up on the wall because that's the best way everyone could see it? Or that a picture is actually designated to be miyuchad on the wall, and therefore if the picture were to fall down on Shabbos, you would not be allowed to put it back up. It's a machloikis achroinu. Some examples of muktzah machmas chasar and kiss don't always have to be valuable. Let's say, for example, your passport. It's not necessarily worth millions of dollars, but it's extremely valuable, especially if you're in a country where you can't travel without a passport. Your license, your ksuba, precious pictures, all these types of things might be considered muktzah machmas chasar and kiss, even though, again, to other people, they might not have too much of a value. Your wedding pictures, to you, are precious, but to the rest of the world, might not have much of a price tag. So it's a complicated category of what gets into the category of muktzah machmas chasar and kiss. So tefillin are very valuable, not only because of the money, but because we treat them as such kedusha. We're so careful what we do with our tefillin. So one could argue, Shmuel Shabbos Kachasi deals with this, why is it not just muktzah machmas chasar and kiss? But the Mishnah Berurah points out number 15 that many achronim argue on the Ramah. And he writes, number 15, V'hataz u'magen Avram machmirin. The taz and the magen Avram are more machmir than the Ramah. V'sovrim, and they hold that tefillin mikri klishim lachtel iser. They hold tefillin is called a klishim lachtel iser. Da'arei also l'anichem b'shabbos, because you're not allowed to put tefillin on Shabbos. V'al kein, and therefore, ein l'salkon, you cannot, ein l'talkon, therefore you can't move them, ki'im l'tzerich gufon. Unless it's letzarech gufa. Now here's a question. What would it mean letzarech gufa that you need to move your tefillin? What do I need the tefillin for? So he writes, Hanukadeshi yashmeru mehamazikin. I'm not sure if he means that you want to protect it from getting ruined, or you want to protect yourself from mazikin, oilim kaimun, or you need the place. Let's say, for example, you leave your tefillin on your dining room table, which this time is very negeir because many people are davening at home. Or let's say, for example, you leave your tefillin on the shelf next to your Shabbos talis. So you need to move your Shabbos talis, your tefillin, to get to your Shabbos talis. So Mishnah Berurah is machmir, and he thinks that we should treat it like a klisha malach tel iser. He writes, let's say, for example, you have a shasat chak, you can make it like the first shita. What's the shayla tolian? So the Ber Halacha writes before, it's tolian, this machlok is reshain. If you hold your ladder with tefillin on Shabbos v'yomtiv, then tefillin are not muktzah. But if you hold you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos v'yomtiv, so then tefillin taka becomes a klisha malach tel iser. So it's negay not only a lumdis, but it's negay to helchot muktzah. To how exactly we look at the tefillin. Do we look at the tefillin as a klisha malach tel iser, to which then it's only mutl, tzarech gufa, tzarech mekaymai? Or do we look at tefillin? No, tefillin is a different category, and therefore you'd be allowed to move it more than just the tzarech gufa, tzarech mekaymai. Shulchan Aruch, number 17, the Shulchan Aruch writes, let me just pull it up, the Shulchan Aruch writes at number 17, in Siman Lamed Aleph, that's the Siman in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov Asur Lo Haniach Tefillin. Shulchan Aruch passes, it's Asur to put on Tefillin. Why? Rebnei Sheheim Atzman Ois. Because since Tefillin are an Ois, V'Menicham Behen Ois Acher, Hayil Zulzul Lo Ois Shalahem. So the Shulchan Aruch takes sides, and this Machlokes Rishonim, and he thinks that you're not allowed to have too many oisiyos. It's a zilzul. We were saying till now there's nothing wrong. It's just that you don't need it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no, it's aser. Not like Rashi, not like Tosfos, not like the Tur. The Shulchan Aruch's opinion is it's mamish aser to have too many oisiyos, and therefore you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Therefore, following that logic, the Shulchan Aruch would hold that tefillin are considered a kli shel matl iser. So if they are considered a kli shel matl iser, they then may be moved to tzarich gufoy oy the tzarich mekayim. Okay, that's all Shabbos v'Yom Tov. What about Chol HaMoed? Good. So we know Shabbos v'Yom Tov. We have machlokes rishonim. We know Shabbos v'Yom Tov. We pass like the Shulchan Aruch that tefillin are also to be put on. Fine. What about Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed is very, very unclear in the Gemara what the status of Chol HaMoed is. So if you look in the Torah, in number 18, the Torah writes in number 18, says the Torah, the Chol HaMoed, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, yesh mistapkin ba. Not sure. The Torah says he's not sure. Number 18, it's on the right side, it's a little hard to read. The Torah says he's not sure. He says, im huzman tefillin umenichin oisei b'lei bracha. If it's the time for tefillin, and you'd make it without a bracha. Va'doini of Yerosh, but my father, the Rosh, hoyu menichon umavarach alayu. My father, the Rosh, he used to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and he made a bracha. So we see the Torah was not sure. The Rosh was very certain. The Rosh said for sure, Chol HaMoed is regular. You make a, put on tefillin, and of course you recite the bracha as well. Now the question is, let's go back a step. Why should one not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Why does one not wear tefillin on Yom Tov? One doesn't wear tefillin on Yom Tov because Yom Tov is called an ois. Okay, so does that ois apply to Chol HaMoed also? So this is where the Rishonim start breaking it down even more. What exactly is the ois of Yom Tov? What is exactly the ois that we talk about that is a siba to not to wear the tefillin? And if that, whatever that siba is, does it apply to Chol HaMoed as well? So if you look in...
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
In terms of the ois, how is the concept of oz outdo the chiyuv of tefillin, a potential chiyuv of tefillin? It's very nice to say the concept of oz, but if there's a the rites of tefillin, it sounds.
So they'll tell you these. Right, that's the chayra why the tour. And Rashi and Tosfos assume that this is not pottering you. This is not saying you can't. Well, I take that back. The Rishonim understanding that the Gemara is making a drasha that there's no need for the tefillin. The din of the Torah putting on tefillin has restrictions and regulations. One of those regulations are you don't have to do it on that day. Now, don't have to versus not allowed to is where they start to differ. They learned into the Pesukim that if the Torah is telling me that you don't need it, so then it's not like you're losing out. It's just that the Torah never gave a mitzvah to put on tefillin on Yom Tov and Shabbos. We'll see. Chol HaMoed gets a little bit trickier. We'll talk about that on Chol HaMoed. Because Chol HaMoed, at least the Machlokes is Rishonim, so the question is, why not put on tefillin just to be yotzei all shitas?
Right.
We'll see Rabbi Soloveitchik dealt with that question as well. Something that I think we all grapple with every year, with Chol HaMoed. So the Ritva, number 19, as does Tosfos in Erevin, Daf Tzadivav, I think it's Daf Tzadivav, Tzadizayin maybe, I don't remember already. Tosfos over there in Erevin discusses the same shayla. What's the ois? What's the ois of Chol HaMoed? Does Chol HaMoed have an ois? So the Ritva writes, Yesh Oimrim, he's talking about Chol HaMoed. Yesh Oimrim, she'enam zman tefillin, she'af b'Chol HaMoed, yesh ois. Says the Ritva, because Chol HaMoed also carries an ois. What's the ois? The be'Pesach ikka isra achilas chametz. Because Pesach has an ois. What's the ois that Pesach has? The isra achilas chametz. U'b'chag. And what does Shavuos have? Choy v'sukkah. You have to sit in the sukkah. So therefore, Zog the Ritva, the same ois that that Yom Tov has, which is, it's specific isra. Either it's the Isser Chometz, or it's the Isser of, or Chayva Sukkah, a specific mitzvah. So Chol HaMoed has it also. You're not allowed to eat Chometz on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to sit outside the Sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Therefore, Zog the Ritva. Oh, so Chol HaMoed has it also. So the Chayva, following that logic, so Chol HaMoed should also not have tefillin. Now, if anyone remembers, this is going a little while back, we spoke about these Rishonim heavily. Right, we spoke about these Rishonim because we were getting into the sugya of is there a mitzvah to eat matzah on all the days of Pesach. We actually did this year, I don't remember, many months ago when we were doing a blaz de mila, and it's very negated this time of year. The shayla is there a mitzvah to eat matzah? Michael, I'm not going to put you on the spot to find out when we gave that share. Okay, don't worry. But there's a big shayla in Rishonim. We spoke about this.
Rabbi, yeah, I'm not going to give you the date, but I have a question. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
There's the chiyuv because it's like Shabbos, but who's this chalamite? Even though it's a yomtiv, it should be in the same category as Shabbos or, you know, regular yomtiv.
Because it depends how you learn ice. If you learn ice, is that it has something special to it, which is the way many Rishonim learn. So they argue Cholamoid has the same specialty as regular Yom Tov. What's the specialty? So the specialty, according to these Rishonim, is the fact that there is either an Isser Chametz or a Mitzvah Yeshiva Basukah. So therefore, that has a Cholamoid has that also. So there's no reason why it's...
That's the Oath and not the fact of Isser Malacha?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. We'll come back to Isser Malacha in a few minutes. Yeah. So the Machalikis Rishonim, what's the Ice of Yom Tov? So if the Ice of Yom Tov has to do with the fact that it has a special mitzvah, so then, Cholamoid has that also. But look at the Lashon of the Ritva. What does Pesach have? Cholamoid has Isser Achilas Chametz. It has an Isser Ti Chametz called Shivas Yimei HaPesach. Ubechag, and what does Sukkot have? Chay V'Sukkah. Okay, that we know. So, Frek the Torah Temima, the Aruch HaShulchan's son, Gevaldik Akasha. What's the Gevaldik Akasha? If you go like this Ritva, that what makes Yom Tov special is what? Is not the Issa Malacha that many thought. But instead what makes Yom Tov special is its specific mitzvah. So what's the bomb kasha?
It's not a mitzvah eat matzah during Cholamoid.
Okay, we'll come back there. But he doesn't. But again, the Ritva doesn't say that. The Ritva says it's an Issa Ti Chametz.
Yeah, but it's not also mitzvah.
One second. What did you say, Michael?
It's also not a mitzvah eat last days of Pesach either. The whole Isser is you can't eat Chametz almost 7 days. The mitzvah is only the first
day. Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. But more fundamental, Rabbi say, what do you do about Shavuos? According to this Ritva, the reason why you don't eat...
Cheesecake.
It must be. There's a raya from this Ritva. There's a mitzvah. So if you look in the Torah Temima number 20, right over there...
Shabbat sign originally.
No, but that's a... Those are...
No, isn't the Oath the Torah?
One sec. No. We're going with different pshatim over here. If we're focusing on the fact that it says Shabbat son, or if we're focusing on the fact that it has a specific mitzvah, if the nekuda is that it has a specific mitzvah, and that's why Cholamoid does make sense, but then Shavuos is going to be shver. If you're going to go the route of Shabbat son,
specific mitzvah, you're not going away from the fact that it says Shabbat
son. So why do you need that svara then? So why do you need that svara then?
For Cholamoid.
Maybe. So let's look at the Torah Temima for a second. So the Temima writes, "Avol afize tzarachin, ma tam b'shvus u'shmini atzeres." Oh, shmini atzeres is a good kasha. V'lo yishayich loy ma'abuhu tam b'shem korban ayim. Don't tell me because they have a korban. Maybe that's why dimkin v'shchedish nami. V'shchedish also has a korban. Im loy shen itztarif l'tamim elu. Maybe you'll tell me it's a combination. You have to combine the svaras. What? Elu Isra Asiyas Malacha. You have to take two svaras. One is because of Isra Malacha, and one is because that it has a special mitzvah. He says, but that's Shvesh. He says, that's a different opinion. But in the simple reading, it sounds like there's two separate reasons. So, Frech, the Torah Temima, he doesn't understand this Mahalach. So Chaim wants to suggest that maybe no. Maybe Shabbason or the other Svaras are explaining the Yom Tov itself. And then you need to explain Cholamoid with the secondary Svar. Perhaps that might be a Yisha for these Rishonim. Now, I just want to go back to...
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also.
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Oh, Rosh Hashanah, you have Shofar. And Yom Kippur, you have mitzvah fasting, I guess. Something. You got to at least find some mitzvahs hayoyim that make it special. Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos have no real special mitzvahs.
It's a local kind of situation.
Maybe you'll say that. Maybe that might be the answer. Okay, maybe. That might be the other answer for the Torah Temima Za'ara. But if you look at the Lashon de Rishonim, it's interesting. The Ritva writes that Pesach has Isra Achilas Chometz. Now that's true. We all agree. You're not allowed to eat Chometz all the days of Pesach. But what do you have on Sukkot? You have a Choyva Sukkah. Now we all know that there's a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah all days of Sukkot. And that's why when you eat Cholamoid in your Sukkah, you make a bracha leisha b'sukkah. If you eat. No, so you're right. Choyva sukkah means that if I decide to eat, I have to do it in the sukkah. Now, I can go the whole Yom Tov after the first night and just eat fruits, vegetables, and candy and never need a sukkah. But if I decide to eat a sandwich, then I have to be in the sukkah. Fine. Keep this in mind, Rabbi said. Let's move on to two more sources. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch. How does the Mechaber paskin? Zog the Mechaber, b'chol ha-moyed, gam kein osur lo haniach tefillin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's prohibited to put tefillin on a chol ha-moyed, me'atam hazeh ba'atzmoy, for the same reason. She'imei chol ha-moyed gam heim ois. Because chol ha-moyed is ois. What's the ois of chol ha-moyed? Mechaber doesn't tell you. So if you take a quick peek in the Magen Avraham writes, what's the ois? Be'pesach, achilas matzah. Ubisukko, yeshiva sasukko. 1 second. That's not the way the Ritva said it. The Ritva didn't say Pesach has achilas matzah. The Ritva said Pesach has isser chometz. So why did the Magen Avraham say that Pesach has achilas matzah? That's not true. There's no mitzvah achilas matzah. I don't have to eat matzah after the first night of Pesach. How do I know? Because if I had a mitzvah to eat matzah all the 7 days of Pesach, every single time I eat matzah, I'd have to make a bracha.
He didn't say there's no mitzvah. He said there's an oath. Eating matzah is an os, it's not necessarily the mitzvah.
Right, we don't make a bracha because we have mila in the middle of the day. It's filling.
Okay, but again, what's special about achilas matzah on Pesach? What makes it special? It's not a chiyuv. It's nothing.
It's not a chiyuv to say a sugar.
So 1 second. So maybe you'll tell me that achilas matzah on Pesach is a kima mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Every single bite of matzah, I'm not mechuyev to eat it, but I have to, but I get a mitzvah. That's such a possibility we suggest.
Same with sukkah.
That's not true.
If you don't eat, you're not a sukkah.
Yeah, but again, by sukkah, I make a bracha when I eat. I don't buy matzah. You got to still answer that kasha. Every single time I go into my sukkah on Chol HaMoed and I eat a sandwich, I make a bracha leisha b'sukkah. When I eat a Chol HaMoed sandwich today for breakfast, I don't make asher kedishanu. So clearly it's not a mitzvah. So you have to draw a distinction between the mitzvah of matzah kol shiva and yeshiva b'sukkah kol shiva. And that's what we spoke about in the past, that there's a fundamental difference. And that's l'chera why the Ritva decided not to focus on the mitzvah of eating matzah or even the eating of matzah, because the eating of matzah is not anything. That's why he focused on the Issa Chometz. And the Magen Avraham went a different route. The Magen Avraham, and again, this is not the Magen Avraham's Chiddush. Rishonim talk about this. Some Rishonim write what's special about Pesach is the Issa Chometz, and some people write what's special about Pesach is the mitzvah Achilas Matzah. So some people want to bring.
Even if you don't eat there, you have to sleep there all the time. Every Shana, you have to go in the Sukkah.
Okay, that's true. Right. So you can't decide not to sleep because that's impossible. Right, Gemara says you can't go more than 3 days without sleeping. So therefore, we assume that sukkah is a chayva 7 days, but matzah, I don't have to eat matzah after the first night. So that's why eating matzah can't be the yois of Pesach, because eating matzah doesn't apply to chol ha-moed. We're trying to explain the mechaber. The mechaber says the chol ha-moed has an yois. What's the yois? So the Magen Avraham says it has achilas matzah. What's achilas matzah? That's the same thing as saying the yois is I drink bear mayim chaim soda on chol ha-moed Pesach. That's not a mitzvah. That's because that's all I have available. The Chayri, you see from the Magen Avraham assumed that there's some halachic significance to the eating of the matzah. And the question is, what is that? So we mentioned that this might be a raya, that there might be a mitzvah to eat matzah kol shiva. What type of mitzvah is it? You're going to have to start figuring it out. Is it a mitzvah kiyumis, a mitzvah chiyuvis? But the Ritva went a whole different route. The Ritva doesn't focus on matzah at all. He focuses merely on the Isra Achilas Chametz. We mentioned back then in that shir that some people point out that maybe the Ritva, the Magen Avraham didn't want to go with the Ritva because the Ritva is a shlilos. It's not doing something. Maybe the ois is more of a positive, not just a negative. Not eating chametz is not the same ois as doing something positive. So maybe that's why the Magen Avraham went with the mitzvah of achilas matzah versus the lack of eating chametz, which is only a shlilos. It's a negative. It's a lack of doing something. Okay. We talked about this in the past. Michael, I'll leave you all the time to figure out where this shir was. I have it in my notebook. What I don't know what date it was. I can tell you what number shir it was if anyone really is curious to learn more about it. But in any case,
is today beat up on Michael Day?
No. Not today. If I can't, I'm trying to bring out the point that you're the only one who remembers. You have all these things. It's praise Michael Day. If I can't. Okay, in any case, the Mechaber paskins that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed because tefillin is an ois. And this is the Mechaber L'shitasei. The Mechaber L'shitasei holds you can't have too many oisies. However, we stopped before we got to the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Hago, V'yeshoim b'im sh'chol HaMoed chayiv b'tefillin. No. Says the Ramah, you gotta wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Why? Doesn't say. Take a quick peek in the Magen Avraham number 22. He says, "V'hayesh oimrim svilu kivin shemuter ba'asiyas malacha leka ois." Says the Magen Avraham, you know what's pshat in the Ramah? The pshat in the Ramah is because tefillin, the ois of Yom Tov, is tali malacha. It's not tali in specific mitzvahs. The ois is tali in what? The ois is tali in issa malacha. And since Chol HaMoed does not carry an issa malacha, which is very, very debatable. We had a series of shiurim on Tuesday night on Chol HaMoed sugyos. I think we did four or five parts. So in the first shiur, we dealt with this question at length. Is the issa malacha and Chol HaMoed deraisa derabbanan, a very long derhalacha with a whole list of rishonim? So the Magen Avraham is assuming that the Ramah is assuming that the malacha and Chol HaMoed is not midderaisa, and therefore you can't tell me that that's the ois. And therefore there is no ois, and therefore taka is, it's taka not usur on Chol HaMoed. That's, and therefore there's no ois. If there's no ois, you're supposed to wait till on Chol HaMoed. That's the opinion of the Ramah. Says the Ramah, v'chein noigim b'chol gilus elu. That's what we did in all our communities. Again, the Ramah lived in Krakow, Poland in the end of the 1500s. So apparently that's what everyone was doing. Ulevarech aleim, they made a bracha. Then the Ramah drops a very funny svara, but you don't make the bracha out loud. Says the Ramah Aminig that you're supposed to make the bracha, but you don't make it out loud like you do a whole year. Frek the Taz, number 22. V'aminig shekasev Ramah she'im avarchem b'kol rom hu tamua. It's mamish apella. The klap is shmaya mi mechalke ben seisa lagoli. Frek the Taz, who are you making brachas for? Hashem. So for Hashem, why does he care if you make it loud or quiet? What's the svar effect the Taz to why you should make the bracha quietly versus making the bracha loud? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Liakov writes, because the reason why you make the bracha quietly is based on the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara says in the Nedarim, in the bottom right corner, the Gemara says in the Nedarim, Hashemeya haskaras Hashem epi chaver. If you hear your friend saying Hashem's name in vain, tzarech lindoise, you gotta put him in cheirim. V'imloi nidu hu atzma yibinidu. If not, you got put into cheirim. Says Dr. Biakiv, Vikivin Shekain, and Yivarech Bekal Rom. What's going to happen? I come to Shul, and I hear my friend screaming Brichas Tfilin. So as far as I'm concerned, he's being Maske Shem Hashem Levatolo. I got to put him in Cherim, and if I don't put him in Cherim, I go into Cherim. Therefore, Dr. Biakiv, Vishma Misha Sovish Osla Niach Yisrael, and this is Amavarech. I have to put him in Cherim. Ve'in Lucham Achloik is Gedei Lemuzu. Can you imagine how Cholomoy would look in the Shuls? Everyone's putting everyone into Cherim. There'd be no Cholomoy trips. It would be terrible. Therefore, Dr. Biakiv, that's why we make it quietly. So again, the Taz is Kash on the Ramah is, why do you make it quietly? The answer is not to do with HaKadosh Baruch. It's to do with the people in the Shul. And that's the way the Mr. Brew is going to explain also. I saw an interesting minug, which I never heard of before. They bring down a minug from B'Shem the Gedoli Halita, that they bring down B'Shem Reb Shach, that in Vilna, they used to put on Tefillin Chol HaMoed, and they didn't make a Baruch on the Shal Rosh. Why? Because we learned in our Tefillin series that there's a big discussion, Machlokes B'Shem, the Mechaber Ramah, if you even make a Baruch on the Shal Rosh on a regular day. Therefore, on Chol HaMoed, because it's a double suffix, they only made the Baruch on the Shal Yad, they didn't make a Baruch on the Shal Rosh. I never heard this before, but it's recorded in the Sefer on Hilchos Chol HaMoed by Reb David Zucker and Moshe Francis, the Sefer Chol HaMoed Zichron Shleima, which we referenced a lot when we did the Sugya of Chol HaMoed. So he brings down this minig B'Shem Reb Shach, that Reb Shach quotes such a minig that in Vilna, they put on both. They only made a Baruch on the Shal Yad, they didn't make a Baruch on the Shal Rosh. Okay. But the Ramah says very clearly, we are Tefillin Chol HaMoed, and we even make a bracha, we just don't make the bracha loudly. Says the Mishnah Berurah number 23, Pirish. What's this whole idea about making the bracha quietly? So he answers the Taz's kasha as well. Make the bracha quietly. Number 23, the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Kadesh lo yivov l'dei machlokes. Mishnah Berurah was very practical. He said the pshat in the Ramah is we don't want fights to break out. Why? Don't walk in the streets with your tefillin. Just don't make a bracha at all. You don't need a bracha. B'savik bracha is l'haka. Or b'frat, shahagro kasav, she'im l'dasa yesh'imim ikka b'shas. The Vilna Gaon made a very, very important proclamation. The Vilna Gaon writes that he sees no source in Shas for the Ramah. The Ramah writes that you're supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. All the Vilna Gaon writes, and we'll see it in the bottom in the left corner, the Vilna Gaon just writes, there's no source for this. Now, that doesn't answer, so what does the Vilna Gaon really hold? All the Vilna Gaon told us was he disagrees with all the rayas that the Rishonim have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so now where does that leave you? Does that mean if because you have no rayas, you don't wear tefillin? Or does that mean you have no rayas, but still you should wear tefillin? We'll have to get to it.
But why are they only concerned about making the bracha and having a fight occur as a result of that, as opposed to, which is much more pronounced, is someone wearing it and others not wearing it within the same shul.
Ah,
so that would create the same type of...
So that's what we need to get to, which I don't want to get into today, even though I would love to, is the shayla of agudas agudas, having two groups of doing two different things. What issue is that, and how can we resolve that, and how often does it come up in shuls where there's one minion and half the men wait? Yeah, we'll have to get to that.
Also, according to the Mishnah Berurah, when it says over here that, you know, that something buffers lahakol, does that make a difference whether the mitzvah is doing it on the rice like tefillin?
No. All brachas are the rabbanon. Savik brachas lahakol apply to all mitzvahs. Yeah. So Mr. Brewer Paskin doesn't matter, right? So Mr. Brewer Paskin is val koponim lenyim bracha bevadi yesh lahachma. Then he writes gam koidem hanochi yachshol bedaite. He says that before you put on tefillin chomer, you should think to yourself: im ani mechoyiv ani, if I'm mechayiv l'shei mitzvah, I'm doing l'shei mitzvah. Vimlav ein ani menich l'shei mitzvah, I'm not doing l'shei mitzvah. Then you're okay according to everyone. Why? Because if you hold Chomer is not Zman Tefillin, you wouldn't be over Mal Tosif. Why? You're not doing it for a mitzvah. Why is there no problem? Mr. Brewer says you're only over the Zilzal Ois if you're trying to do a mitzvah. If you're not trying to do a mitzvah, then you're not in a violation of Zilzal Ois.
So that assumes you do the bracha. You're doing the bracha at the time.
No, he's saying you don't make a bracha, but when you put on the tefillin, you're supposed to say to yourself, if I'm supposed to wear tefillin, then I'm wearing this for the sake of the mitzvah. If I'm not supposed to wear tefillin, I'm just putting this on my head for, I don't know, for some other reason.
For what other reason?
I don't know. He doesn't explain what the other reason is. Let's say I wake up Shabbos morning, I decide, I want to show my kids how tefillin looks. So I put my tefillin on Shabbos morning, not mitzvah. I want to show my kids how tefillin looks. L'chayru, that would be mutter. Because that's not a violation of ois, because I'm not trying to do a mitzvah. Mr. Brewer sounds like it's only a violation of ois if you're trying to use it as an ois. But if I'm trying to use it for another venue, I'm trying to show my son, I'm trying to show my kid how tefillin look, trying to show the next door neighbor. So l'chayru, it would sound like l'fiza, I wouldn't be in a violation. It's a chiddush. I don't know anyone who does that practically, puts on tefillin on Shabbos just to show their kids how tefillin looks, but I guess if you're really bored and you want to give a lesson to the kids how tefillin looks, strictly speaking, it sounds like it would be mutter. So therefore, according to Mr. Brewer, when I put my tefillin on a chol hamoed, I should have in mind that what I'm doing is like this. If I'm doing a l'shem mitzvah, I'm doing a l'shem mitzvah. And if not, I want this to be completely just for, I don't know why, yeah. I'm not sure why else I put this straps on my arm and straps on my head, but that this way would take away all the problems.
Rabbi, you said that part of the other part is, if it's not a mitzvah, I'm putting on l'shem tachshit.
Right, I'm just not sure what type of tachshit that would be today. Like who wears this as a tachshit? But yeah, that's what the other side would be. I just don't know how that like
it's
translates.
There's nothing better to wear.
Okay. If that's, you know, I don't know how, you know, I hear it better if I'm trying to wear it to show someone like what I'm doing, but you're right, you'd have to say I'm dressing myself up in this piece of jewelry, I guess, something like that. Now it's interesting, if you look in the Beis Yosef, the bottom Beis Yosef in number 24, Beis Yosef writes the following. The Achshav Nagu Kol B'nei Svarat. Today all Svaritic Jews, Shloi Lanichem Cholomait. Sephardic Jews, none of them put tefillin on Chol HaMoed. He says, V'shemat, he says the Beis Yosef, Shemikoydim hoyu menichem moysev Chol HaMoed. Listen to this unbelievable idea in history. Says the Beis Yosef, you should know, it wasn't always like that. There was a time where even Sephardic Jews wore tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Why? K'divi HaRosh, like the Rosh said. We found a shtickle zoyar. We found the Zoyar, which was around in the times of the Rosh, times of the Rishayin, and they found Zoyar. And the Zoyar writes, not to wear tefillin, Valkein nimnu melanichem b'chol hamoed. Says the Beis Yosef, you know why Svarim don't wear tefillin until the chol hamoed? It's not like the Mechaba makes it sound like because of the Magen Avraham because of the lumdus of Isis. No. It's because the Gemara was not Muchach, and the Rishayin were not Muchach. But we found the Zoyar. And the rule is when you have no haychocha from the Gemara, then you follow Zoyar. So since the Zoyar says not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, that's why Sfarim today don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So explains the Beis Yosef. So again, historically speaking, Sfarim used to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and this we'll see is very relevant to halacha l'maisa, but says the Beis Yosef, historically speaking, Sfarim used to, and then they switched off. So we know Sfarim don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. What about Ashkenazim? So it sounds like from the Ramah that Ashkenazim do. The Vilna Gaon is a shtickle tricky. The Vilna Gaon writes in number 25 that all the rayas that the Rishonim have not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, ve'en l'dei azu ikka klal. Says the Vilna Gaon, without getting into all the nitty-gritties, all he basically says is that all the Raya's are not Raya's. So Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has a fascinating tshuva in Igros Moshe, Chelik Hei, Simen Chof Beis, where he tries to figure out, so what's the taka the sheet of the Gaon? The Gaon says that all the Rishonim that have Raya's, to which Tefillin on Chol HaMoed, none of the Raya's are good Raya's. So where does that leave us now? So should you or shouldn't you? So Rav Moshe writes, the Vilna Gaon never makes any reference to this Zoya. He never says, well, therefore, since there's no Raya's to wear, and we have a Zoya that says not to, so you shouldn't. Rav Moshe never writes that the Vilna Gaon never writes that anywhere. So Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva trying to figure out, so what's the talk of the Svar from the Vilna Gaon? He wants to say, perhaps the Svar of the Vilna Gaon is that once you prove to me that Chol HaMoed is not different, once you have no proof that Chol HaMoed is different, so then you assume Chol HaMoed is like regular Yom Tif. So if Chol HaMoed is like regular Yom Tif, and regular Yom Tif, you don't wear tefillin. Chol HaMoed.
Rav Moshe didn't wear tefillin. Rav Moshe didn't wear tefillin.
Rav Moshe did.
He did?
Yeah.
And he didn't go to work, I'll bet.
I don't think so. We'll talk about more of Rav Moshe in a second, but Rav Moshe is just trying to figure out, the Vilna Gaon doesn't really take a stand. All the Vilna Gaon does is, he just tells you that there's no riot from the Rishayim to wear tefillin. So where does that leave you now? So I have no riot to wear. Does that mean I shouldn't? Or that just means I have no riot to wear? So Rav Moshe grapples with this question. And
by the way, Rabbi,
yeah.
When you brought up about going to work, is that a fallacy? You know, it's like, does work have a correlation to wearing tefillin or not? Or we just think that way?
Again, it's not work. It has to do with whether or not there's an Isser Malacha. That's what the Magen Avraham pointed out to us. The Magen Avraham said the Yesh Oimim of the Ramah holds that Midaraisa Yelara do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So, right, so someone else told me this Svar once, that if you go to work, then you should wear tefillin. If you don't go to work, then you don't wear tefillin.
Where does it come from? Is there anything?
It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. The question is, if the Isser Malacha is Deraisa or if the Isser Malacha is Derabbanan. Either way, there's a Heter called Davar HaAvod. So I'm not sure what the relevancy is. Even if you hold that Malacha is an Issa Deraisa, and therefore the argument would be if you hold Malacha is Deraisa, then you hold Yom Tif, then it has an Ois, but there's still a Heter called Davar HaAvod. So I'm not really sure why people make that. To me, there's no correlation whatsoever between those two facts. But we'll come back to that in a few minutes. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, he says, everyone should follow their family minhag with regard to tefillin. Today he says already there's an accepted custom even amongst Ashkenazim Jewry not to wear tefillin. I don't want to spend too much time. However, he does conclude that in one base medrash it would be a problem of agudas agudas. It would be a problem of loisus kaidu, which we'll have to talk about blineder one day. But the Aruch HaShulchan already acknowledges that already in his times, which was already 300 years later from the Ramah in the Vardik, there were already Ashkenazic Jews who didn't wear tefillin. Now, it could be that some of these Jews weren't wearing tefillin because of the Vilna Gaon. Since the Vilna Gaon said there's no right to wear tefillin, the assumption is you don't wear tefillin. Or maybe just for other reasons they didn't wear tefillin, which we'll get to in a few minutes. If you look at the Sefer Halachas V'Hanhagas Hagra, which was written by Rav Moshe Sternbach, so he gives you a whole list of the Rishonim. And he writes like this. Harashba Ramban Chinuch Eshkol Namuki Yosef Tosis Rid Pirshu She'en Laniach Tefillin B'Chol HaMoed. A whole list of Rishonim who hold not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. V'zeh Daz Goyne Sfara. This is the opinion of the Sfaradishes. HaKodesh Arizal U'mina Kol Eretz Yisrael. V'zeh Gam Mina Chassidim B'Goyle Shem Minich B'Chol HaMoed. That's what the Chassidim do. They also don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Now again, my assumption would be is the reason why the Chassidim don't wear tefillin is because of the Zoya. Since it says in Zoya not to wear, the Chassidim also follow the Zoya.
They didn't know the Yekis though.
Ah, oh, we didn't get to the Yekis yet. What do the Yekis do?
They wear tefillin.
Yep. Yekis do wear tefillin. Now, that seems to be the simple reading of the Ramah. The Ramah says he's supposed to wear tefillin. The Yekis follow a simple reading of the Ramah. Then he concludes, he writes, then he quotes a bunch of other people. Who's the pro-tefillin wearers in the Rishonim? You have the Rosh, the Smag, Hagois Maimonides, Sefer HaTruma, Taisris, Umenach Tzarfas, the Marshal, and the Ramah. Okay? So again, there's many Rishonim on the other side, as Rav Moshe Feinstein also points this out. There's quite a few Rishonim on the other side. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also points out, where's the Rambam and the Rif in all this? We left out the two greatest of the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rif. They don't say anything. So Rav Moshe grapples within the Tshuva, what are we supposed to assume the Rambam and the Rif hold with all this? So I think he makes a comment in the Tshuva, it's an Igros Moshe, Chelik Hei, Simen, Chof, Dalid, he says, well, what happened to the Rif and the Rambam? So I think he wants to assume from the fact that the Rif and the Rambam don't say anything. Let me just get this over here. Says Rav Moshe, what about the Rif and the Rambam? So he says, where'd it go? Yeah, I gotta find it over here. Well, he points out that there's no reference to the Rif and the Rambam in this sugya. So where exactly do they fit in to the shayla of wearing tefillin? We know the Rosh held to wear tefillin, and we know the Rashba, the Ramban, held not to wear tefillin. But what happened to the Rif and the Rambam? So he says over here, of course I can't find it at the moment. Okay. He writes over here, the Hamavur Gam Divei Ramva Rif Arrived, the Chacham Svar Shavi B'yo... No, he doesn't say it over here. He points it out in the tshuva. I have to find it over here. I have to find it at a different time. Ubefrat gam shita the river Rambam mashmi yosei shesorim the tzorach on the tefillin. Rav Moshe thinks that the Rif and the Rambam hold you have to put on tefillin. Shem shalei rak shalei yochel right. So Rav Moshe thinks that the Rif and the Rambam held you should put on tefillin, but they don't write it explicitly. In the explicit Rishonim, we only have the Rosh, the Smag, Hagos Maimonides, and the Sefer Truma, while we have quite a few Rishonim on the other side. So the Torah Tamima makes this connection. The Torah Tamima wants to say that the Rashba that held you don't put on tefillin achol hamoed. Why? Because the Rashba held that Issa Malacha is deraisa achol hamoed. So since the Rashba held that Issa Malacha deraisa achol hamoed, so then Malacha is the ice. So if that's the ice, and therefore the ice is going to apply to achol hamoed also. But if you hold the Issa Malacha is only midrabanan, if you hold the Issa Malacha is only midrabanan, so then that can't be the ice, and therefore you would put on tefillin achol hamoed. Now you have to go back to our Shu'ur Machol HaMoed where we discussed whether or not it's so posh that Chol HaMoed, if you hold the Issa Malacha Deraisa on Chol HaMoed in the Mechaber and in the Ramah. Because this would be a very nice way to learn the Machloikas Mechaber Ramah. Right? The Mechaber held that you don't put on tefillin because he held Malacha on Chol HaMoed is Deraisa. The Ramah held Malacha on Chol HaMoed is only Derabbanan. That's one way you could have learned it. That's not the way the Magen Avraham learns it, but that's one way you could have learned it. But you have to go back to the earlier Shu'urim where there's steers, it's not so poshut whether or not everyone holds that the Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed is deraisa or derabbanan. Okay, now there's an interesting raya from a Rashi in Sukkah. There's a Rashi in Sukkah where Rashi's talking about, Kvega brings this raya. Rashi's discussing, what do you do when you have a lot of mitzvahs in front of you? Are you allowed to bundle up mitzvahs? You have to do each mitzvah separately, or with regard to the bracha. So Rashi says, what happens when you have a lot of mitzvahs in front of you? I'm in number 29. Rashi says, you have a lot of mitzvahs. Rashi gives you an example. What's the example? Lita lulav, leisha b'sukkah, laniach tefillin lesatif betzitzis. So Kvega says, what are you talking about? Laniach tefillin and leisha besukkah? How do those two things coincide with each other? Elamai says of Kvega, it must be, we're talking about Chol HaMoed. And Rashi holds, you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Now, what's Rashi's shita on the Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed? Does Rashi hold that Malacha on Chol HaMoed is also deraisa? Again, we know Rashi holds your ladder with tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov. Here Rashi says your ladder with tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So you got to connect these two Rashis and figure out how everything works out. I'll leave that for everyone for, so to say, homework. But that's an interesting Rashi. The Rashi in Sukkah seems to hold that you would wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Now, there's a cute raya they bring in that Teres Zekanim in number 31. That Teres Zekanim writes, there's a remez that he's supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. What's the remez? Because it says in the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, and we know that the shin of tefillin is the amount of days you're supposed to wear tefillin throughout the year. How much is shin? Shin is Sadi, Kof, Rei, Shin is 400. So we know you're supposed to wear tefillin 400 days of the year. Now we know you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov. So he writes this, if you subtract 52 Shabbosim, and you subtract 13 of the real Yom Tovim, so you're left with Shin Mem, you're left taka with 400. But he says, one second, what about Chol HaMoed? Oh, Elamai, taka wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's his raya that you're supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so this is all in the Rishonim and all in the Achronim. Halacha l'maisa, listen to this from the Briska family, the Soloveitchik family. The Soloveitchik family writes like this. Moran HaBeis HaLevi, this is from the Briska Haggadah. Number 32, the Beis HaLevi, HaYimeniach Tfilin B'Chol HaMoed. The Beis HaLevi used to put on Tfilin B'Chol HaMoed, like the Rosh and like the Rambah. Umoran HaGrach V'HaGriz, but Reb Chaim and the Briska Rav, Nogu Shaloi L'Haniach, they didn't. This is going out of following the Messiah in the Briska dynasty. So Rabbi Salevi would wear tefillin. The Briska Rav and Rabbi Chaim wouldn't wear tefillin. Okay, so they ran in the footnote. Agav, Kashe Morin, Hagriz Nasel Bar Mitzvah, when the Briska Rav became Bar Mitzvah, Hoyezeb Chol HaMoed Sukkos. It was Chol HaMoed Sukkos. B'yom HaShana Rabbah. It was HaShana Rabbah. And his father suggested a beautiful bar mitzvah pshetel would be to talk about wearing tefillin chol hamoed. So Hanar also came. Havi Rabbi Raya's Lashidas Rishayim Masayim Shalom Neach Tefillin Chol Hamoed. He brought a lot of Raya's that you're not supposed to wear tefillin. At Sheochiv Hagoyin of Moshe until his brother Moshe Feinstein, Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Soloveitchik, Sheshama as Drashah. So he listened to his brother's bar mitzvah pshetel. Hipsik Me'oz Laniach Tefillin Chol Hamoed. He was so convinced by his brother's pshetel that he stopped wearing tefillin. Achmorin Hagrach Karl Lefon of Esanar, but the Reb Chaim told the Biskarov, Vetzivalov Shabachol Zoys Biyama Bar Mitzvah Afshu Chol Moed Yenich Tefillin. He told him, but today's your Bar Mitzvah, so this year you should put on Tefillin. Voyeze Hapam Hayechido Shemoru Hagrach Shemorin Hagriz Hayed Nich Tefillin Chol Moed. If you want to know strange Jewish history, when was the only time the Biskarov wore Tefillin Chol Moed? That was the year he got Bar Mitzvah. So we find a very strange thing. We find in the Soloveitchik family there was a break. The Rebbe Salevi held to wear tefillin chol hamoed. Rebbe Chaim and the Biskarov changed it. Rebbe Moshe Soloveitchik changed it. They all changed it. And Rabbi Soloveitchik himself changed it. Rabbi Soloveitchik himself didn't wear tefillin chol hamoed, even though the Alta Zeda, the Rebbe Salevi, did wear tefillin chol hamoed. I have a similar shaila in my family. My great grandfather wore tefillin chol hamoed. My grandfather didn't wear tefillin chol hamoed. So the shaila was, what should I do? So I don't wear tefillin chol hamoed. Even though I always tell my family that when my son gets old enough, we're going to go through the sugya one more time, and I'm not sure if we're going to change it. But I see over here the Briskers did that. Reb Chaim changed the family minhag. The Beis Halevi did it one way. Reb Chaim changed the minhag, and everyone followed Reb Chaim. The Bris followed Reb Chaim. Reb Moshe Soloveitchik followed Reb Chaim. So you see that the grandfather has a kayach to change it. Now I don't know why my grandfather changed the family minhag. It needs a stickled beer by me why he changed the minhag. But I don't think it's because
the ones who would wear tefillin on chol hamoed, if they were in Israel, would they not wear it? Were they doing their room?
They were doing their room, yeah. They were doing their room. Like they do anything else. For them, it's mamash.
Not even in their room, they don't do it in their Yisrael, no?
I don't know. If you're Ben Chutzlaritz, I don't know why not.
Yeah, I know it all the time.
I don't know. I pass on the shiloh.
In your room, Ronnie?
Yeah.
I would think so. It's a Chayvus Gavra. If it's a Chayvus Gavra, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. I don't see why you wouldn't. So this is an interesting shayla in the Briska family. So again, we'll see in a minute that Rabbi Soloveitchik also did not wear tefillin, but he was also very troubled by this. So the shayla is, it's interesting, if you look at the Divrei Chaim, interesting sanz minug. If anyone knows any sanz of chassidim, so in sanz they had an interesting minug that what? Shebachurim enichu tefillin b'chol hamoed. In sanz, the minug is that the bachurim wear tefillin b'chol hamoed. So the shayla was, the shayla to the Divrei Chaim was, what do you do with a bar mitzvah bacher? So he writes, L'dayti yaniach tefillin b'pam rishon b'yamav t'chol hamoed. U'b'fra b'chol hamoed Pesach sho yoymed t'tfillin sh'akir b'chutz la'aretz u'minyin tefillin. He says specifically on chol hamoed Pesach you should wear it. Why? Because chol hamoed Pesach we have the kriya of tefillin. But the Sanzer had a minute that the bachrim do wear tefillin. It's only the married people who don't wear tefillin on chol hamoed. An interesting minute. So the shayla that Achreinim grapple with is, are you allowed to change the family's minute? So if you look in the Beis Yitzchak, Yitzchak Shmelkis, number 34, he writes the following. He says, I mean, let's say, for example, your father doesn't wear tefillin. And you went through the sugya and you thought that you should wear tefillin. Are you allowed to change the family minhag? So he writes, number 34, the Beis Yitzchak, Yitzchak Shmelkis. He writes, Lafinas daiti, da'at kan lo'y amrinan da ben chayv l'nag minhag avoysov. When does a child have to follow family minhag m'shom al-titer shteres? Who davka b'davish ein batam et saradin. That's only if there's no real halachic backing. It's just a minhag. Rak m'shom chumra v'zihiris. He said, then you're supposed to go after the family minute. Aval b'hach t'tfilin b'chol hamoed da'hi machloikis b'shoinim. V'yesh lanu mikor b'halochim aviv noy k'minag ashkenaz. V'aben noy k'minag sfard. Ein b'kach klum. Says in Yitzchak Shmelkis, when it comes to tfilin b'chol hamoed, you don't have to follow family minute. You do what's right, or what you think is right. Because there's b'shoinim on both sides. Since there's both b'shoinim on both sides, this is a serious shiloh. Paskas in Yitzchak Shmelkis, you can change the family minute. Taina the munkat shireb on the minchas alazer. He says, I'll bring your raya, I'll change your minhag. Says the Munkat Shireb, but the Svarim changed the minhag. The Beis Yosef told us for so many years, Svarim used to wear tefillin on chol hamoed. Then they found the Zaya, they switched to not wearing tefillin. Oh, so says the Munkat Shireb, but what do you see? You see, it's okay to switch the minhagim. You see, sometimes you'll have to switch the minhagim. It's an interesting raya from the Munkat Shireb. Well, just we'll close with two more things. From the Nefesh Hara, from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he writes over in number 36, Rabbeinu Noye Kiminag Aviv. Rabbi Soloveitchik was knowing like his father, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, Shlodaniach Tzol Mechalamayt. V'ayimispalo bebeis ha-medrish di-yeshivas Rambam. He was once davening in Rambam, Yachlim kol al-tamidim, shekin anichu tfilin. U'kinira shehu savash ein b'zeh m'shom loisis kaidu. So, points out Rav Shechter, what do you see from over here? That's obviously not loisis kaidu. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought it wasn't loisis kaidu. which Moshe Feinstein says in the Tshuva is also not lois discarded. Then he writes, "Upam shoyel agoyin Moshe Salveich lo avagrach." So Moshe Salveich once asked his father, "Haloi avki hidas agro shoyel aneich tefillin b'chol shemayim." You're right that the Vilna Goyin held not to wear tefillin. "Avaloi kamri shoyim lesvir lahachi umedino safik lo yatzanu." So Moshe Salveich asked his father, "B'chaim," he says, "Lemaisa, it's still a safik deraisa. Why don't we do it?" So the answer that Reb Chaim gave him is, it's not a suffix. It's pashut that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, not because of the Vilna Gaon, but Reb Chaim Salveitchik thought that the reason why you don't put tefillin on Chol HaMoed is because of the Gemara in Erechin. It's on the first page. Reb Chaim is responsible because the Gemara says in Erechin that the definition of wearing tefillin is totally in Kedushas Yom Tov. And Reb Chaim held that Chol HaMoed carries Kedushas Yom Tov. And therefore, since Chol HaMoed carries Kedushas Yom Tov, it's pashut that the Kedushas Yom Tov is there, even if there is no Isra Malach, there is a Malach, it's telling Kedushas Yom Tov. And Chol HaMoed has definitely Kedushas Yom Tov. And therefore, Zakhtar Reb Chaim, that's why there is pashut to him, it's not even a suffix. To Reb Chaim wasn't even a suffix that he's supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. One last Nakuda from the Maseiros Moshe, from the Sefer written by Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's grandson, by Rabbi Mordechai Tendler. He writes that there was once a story that Ramesh explained to him the following. Number 23c. Explained, Ashkenazim is supposed to make with a brach. He says, because the influence of the gra was so strong in Poland and in Lita, even though people didn't listen to the gra to not put on tefillin, the afa gra loyomashi shanas minag, gamivum atzmehinichoi. In Vilna, they put on tefillin. So Moshe explained, the reason why we don't make a brach is because we're choshen for the Vilna going. So Dr. Moshe, what happens in Meschil Levarich? Let's say b'dieved, you forgot on Chol HaMoed, and you start to make the bracha. So Dr. Moshe, you should finish making the bracha. And he writes on the bottom, there was a story like that, that once Rav Moshe started making the bracha on Chol HaMoed, and he finished making the brachas. Because really, Rav Moshe holds, we're always supposed to make the brachas. The only reason why we don't make the brachas is because of the Vilna Gaon. So therefore, Dr. Moshe, if you started making the brachas, b'dieved, you should conclude with the brachas. So in conclusion, it's quite a big discussion. Should you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Shouldn't you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? At least now, hopefully, we have a better understanding to why those who do, do, and those who don't. If it's tall in the ice of matzah, the ice of sukkah, the isra siyas malacha. If it's Tullian, how do you learn the Gemara of Kedushas Yom Tov? If it's why you make a bracha, why you don't make a bracha? But at the end of the day, everyone's going to follow their family minhag unless they want to switch the minhag, which I'm still grappling with whether or not.
You say everybody can do what they want, is what I
said. Yeah, yeah. I just want everyone. My job is for everyone to understand why they're doing what they're doing. That's it. Everyone should understand why they're doing what they're doing, and everyone should appreciate.
Ronnie, give it up.
And everyone should be able to appreciate the Messiah. And understand why they're doing, and understanding why they're right, and why everyone does what they do, and we should follow our Messiah, and this way we're always doing the right thing.
Okay.
Everyone have a wonderful Yom Tov. Hopefully we'll get together. I don't know about next Sunday because my sister's getting married next Sunday in Mitzvah Shem. It's going to be an interesting chasana. It's going to be outdoors with a very limited group. So I don't know what my availability is going to be.
You made the cut?
I'm not sure yet. I got to double check again. My kids definitely did not. I wasn't yet asked, but hopefully not. But I'd like.
Well, did you get your money back from Lakewood? That's the question.
Yeah, yeah. Last I heard from my father, yes.
You see the Shaila from Rev Schechter that Stewie routed about refunds? I sent it to you.
Oh, terrific. I'm going to take a look. Thank you. I urge everyone who has access to Rev.